Hi, this is Chris Pels, and in this video we're going to learn how to use the ASP.NET cache object. So we'll get started, create a little sample website. Now the website I'm going to create will be in Visual Basic, which we'll use for our samples in the video, but when you download the sample source code you'll also get a C# version. So what we want to do in this sample is we're going to build a simple page with a grid on it and load some data into the grid. So let's set that part up first, and then we'll get into the caching aspect. So we'll go over here into the design mode, and let's just grab a grid view from the toolbox. And we'll drag and drop that right onto our form here. And not really concerned with the formatting, and let's just double check that it's going to automatically generate columns. And we'll scrub auto generate columns is true, so we're all set there. We'll go back over here and let's go to the code behind. And we'll open that up. And we need some data to populate our grid. So we're going to start out and we'll go to the events. Let's go to the load event, for example. And in here we want to get some data. Now, typically, you might get your data from a database using a SQL Server or the like. What we're going to do here in the video is get the data from an XML file. That's way it's easier to package up the data and have it in the sample source code, but the end result will be exactly the same as if you retrieved it from a database. So let's go here into the website. We're going to add a little XML file. There we go. And we'll just call this testdata.xml. And let's create a simple structure, and I'll call the root element root, and let's put some customers in here. Then each customer, let's call it the name of the company name, and we'll call this Microsoft, and the city, and we'll call it Redmond, and let's just put the state, Washington. And let's just put a couple customers in here. All we want to do is just get some data coming into our grid. We're not really concerned with the structure nor the contents of that data. So Amazon, let's just put Seattle. And let's go here. And Boeing. And I think they've moved to Illinois. Not sure if it's Chicago, but we'll put down Chicago and Illinois. Okay, so we have our XML data here in this little test file. Let's go back to the code behind. And what we want to do is to load that XML file into our grid. And we'll do that by reading the XML into a data set. So let's dimension a local variable, and we'll call it DS for dataset as a data set. And take equal to a new data set. Now we don't have the proper import statement for the data set, so we'll go to this little drop down here, and if you've not used this, very helpful. Just click that, and up it comes with several options to include the correct namespace. We'll just do an import at the top, and now our data set is there. So now with our data set, we want to read the XML, and we need to give the proper path to our XML file, so we'll go server.mappath, and we called it testdata.xml, and closing parentheses, so that should load it into our data set. Now we want to go to our grid view. It had the default name of grid view 1 and data source, and we'll set that equal to our data set. Now you might be wondering, why don't we use like an XML data source or the like to get this XML file in? And actually we could do that, and I wanted to do it in code here, because by doing the separate steps in code, in a few minutes you'll see how we're going to make use of the cache object here to actually cache the reading of this from the disk file. So we've set our data source, And last, we need to do a data bind. And that should get the data appearing on a grid. Let's just take a look at it. So we'll fire it up, and we'll be using a debug mode in a minute, so let's just click debug, and it's going to prompt us, I think. Let me click it again. There we go. Modify the web.config because it did not have debugging enabled. And up comes our page, and we are getting our data. So that's good for our first step. So now what we want to do is start to invoke caching of this data set. So what I'm going to do is just take the code and to follow a little bit of good programming practices. What we're going to do is we're just going to create a separate method for this. We'll paste this in here because we're going to add a little bit more logic, and it'll start to get a little bigger, and we wouldn't want that in the page load event. So here, just so we don't forget, we're going to call load data. Now what we want to do down here is essentially we want to make use of the cache, and what we're going to do is ask the question, is the data set cached? If it's not cached, we're going to load it and put it in the cache, and if it is cached, we're going to retrieve it from the cache. So how do we do that? So let's go back up here, put an if statement, and what we're going to do here is make use of the cache object, and this is quite simple to use. It's accessible on the code behind for the ASPX page, be accessible also in user controls or in the global ASAX file. And the cache is essentially a collection of key value pairs that you can insert or retrieve. And to retrieve it, like with many collections, what you do is you can see here, you can pass in the key and it returns the item as an object. So we haven't inserted it yet, but we're going to do that in a moment, and we're going to just call the key grid data, and we'll say is nothing, then okay, and we'll just closing parentheses, there we go, and if. Now what we're going to do here is if it is nothing, and what that does is it's essentially saying the item, in this case the data set, is not in the cache, then we need to load it. So let's start to move some of these lines of code around here a bit. We'll dimension the data set up here, and then what we'll do is if it's not in the cache, we want to read it. So let's put that one in here. Now the other thing is if it is in the cache. So go down here and we'll say else. So if it is in the cache, what we want to do is we want to retrieve the data set from the cache. So what we want to do here is we want to get our data set and we want to get it from the cache. And remember, the cache stores everything as an object, and we could do an implicit conversion of the object coming from the cache to a data set, but let's define it a little more clearly. And we use ctype, and here what we want to do is just go to the cache and specify grid data, and the type we want is a data set, and so that will retrieve the existing cache from the data set. And then down here we're going to bind it to either the XML file or from the cache, and I should say we're going to assign it as the data source, and then we'll do the data bind. So now let's take a look at the page and see if it's behaving as expected. And let's put a breakpoint right here on line 14, and we'll step into it and take a look at what's happening. We have one more step here before we can actually look at the page. And what we've done here is we retrieve the data set if it's not in the cache, so we need to insert it into the cache. So the way we do that is we'll go back to the static cache object, and there's several methods here. We're going to use insert, and notice there's several overrides to the constructor for insert. You can just put the key value, and then there's some other ones. Let me just, there we go, we can see them. There's dependencies, sliding expirations and a number of other things. We're going to come back to them in just a moment. Let's just start out relatively simple. So we have what's called grid data, and then the data set is the object we want to put in the cache. So now, once we cache it the second time through, we should get it from the cache. So let's start up in the debug mode here. And every time we get to page load, it's going to call our little load data method. Let's step through. Now the first time, it shouldn't be in the cache. So it goes down, it reads it in, it inserts it into the cache, assigns it, binds it, and it should come up on the page just as we saw before. So now let's refresh the page, and that will cause page load to be called a second time, as well as our load data. Come down here, and this time it finds it in the cache, so it brings it out of the cache and assigns it and binds it, and it should look exactly the same on the page. Now the difference being that we loaded it from the cache and we didn't have to read it from the disk-based file. Now, this is a very small example, not a lot of data, but I think you can understand that if we had a fairly lengthy data retrieval process, either from a database or even a large XML file, as we're doing here, that it would be significantly faster to retrieve that already complete and populated data set from the cache than to go out to the database or to the disk and read in the data again. So this is an example of what we might call simple cache. We put the data set into the cache and it just stays there in the cache and we subsequently retrieve it. Now there's several other options for caching that give you more flexibility when you're caching items, and let's take a look at what we call expiration of an item in the cache. To do that, I'm just going to rename our first method here and leave it so when you get the sample source code you'll have it for reference. And we'll just call this simple cache, and we'll just take that name, put that in here, and actually we're going to comment this line out because we're going to create a second method just for the purpose of separating the sample source code for you. Let's just take this method, we'll copy it up here, and let's just call this expiration cache. And we'll take that, copy that name, put it up here, and we're going to be calling that now. And at this point it would work exactly the same as the first one because we just copy and pasted it. What we're going to do down here is the first part of this stays the same, and we're going to change line 19 where we're storing the item inside of the cache. Now, as you may recall, and let me go back over here, let's just start from scratch in terms of this insert method. Let me go back over, get the IntelliSense again. We did a constructor number one, which is the key and the value. And if we start to go down here and look at this, we'll see that you can do dependencies, you can do dependencies, and then what are called absolute expiration or sliding expirations. And then you can also do callbacks. What we want to do actually is this one right here. So the first part starts out the same, and we'll call this grid data. And then we want to put our data set, and we're going to not specify any dependencies, so we'll just put nothing in there. And now we want to specify an absolute expiration. And to make this simple, what we want to do is just take the date time, we'll take now, and let's just add, we'll go down here, seconds, and let's add 15 seconds. Now there's a very short time to cache something, but we're doing this so we can see the effect of this expiration when we cache things. And okay. So now we need one more. There was another argument in there. So let me just put nothing in there. Okay. So now this should cache our object for 15 seconds. And what that means is that after 15 seconds, the item is removed from the cache And if we come back in here on line 17 and check to see if it exists in the cache, at that point after the expiration it won't be there. So this is kind of a way to keep things in cache for periods of time and then remove them from the cache, so not just sitting there in the server memory kind of forever and ever. So let's take our breakpoint off of line 31 and we'll move it up here. We'll put on line 17 where we're testing to see if the item's in the cache, and let's run the page in the debug mode and see how this works. We'll start it up in the debug mode, and the first time through, let's hit that again, there we go. Starts it up, come into our load method, it's not in the cache, so we're going to read it, insert it into the cache with this 15 second time. Let's just quickly let it run here, get it set on, let's refresh the page quickly inside that 15 second window. It's in the cache, so we retrieve it from the cache. Put up the page again. Now let's just sit here for a few seconds. We'll get beyond that 15 second window that we specified for the expiration. Hopefully that's enough. Let's click refresh. We'll come in here. Now notice it's not in the cache, that it was removed after this 15 second window, so it's loaded into the cache again. And we get it up on the page. So you can see here the effect of putting this 15 second time in here. And that means, obviously, it's cached for 15 seconds, then it's thrown out, removed from the cache. And that gives you a way, kind of one way at least, to clean out the cache after a specified period of time. So now we've seen what's known as an absolute expiration, and what that means is that this expires after 15 seconds no matter what. And I'm just going to change the name of this to absolute expiration. And again, we're going to keep this source code around for you. And now we're going to look at something called a sliding expiration. So we'll paste in the absolute, and we'll just change the name to sliding. And we'll go up here. And we'll comment out that one. Put sliding in here. Sliding, S-L-I-D, there we go. Typo. Alright, now what do we have to do to make this a sliding expiration? Well, let's go down here, and we need to remove the absolute expiration. And what we're going to put in here is system.web.caching.cache. And we're going to put in the enum for no absolute expiration, okay? And then we want to go over here to our last argument, which notice is called a sliding expiration as a time span. So let's go system.timespan and create a new instance of that. Let me back up here and put new in there. And we're going to create the time span, and here in a time span, if you're not familiar with this, we have four constructor overrides. We have ticks, hours, minutes, and seconds, days, hours, minutes, seconds, and then days through milliseconds. So let's go in here and let's put a zero for 0 hours, 0 minutes, and 15 seconds. So this is similar to what we had before. It's a length of 15 seconds, but it's going to behave a bit differently. And what's going to happen here, because it's a sliding expiration, is that every time the cache is accessed, it's going to reset to 15 seconds. Whereas the first one was an absolute expiration. 15 seconds was up, that's it, the item's removed from the cache. So we'll take a look at this. Let's remove our breakpoint from 34. We'll put it up here on 18, and let's run this and see what happens. Okay, let's start up the page in the debug mode once again. First time through, it's not in the cache, we read it in. Let's refresh the page very quickly here, and it's in the cache, so we retrieve it from the cache, okay? And that should set our 15 second window. Now if we wait here for about that 15 seconds and we go back in, probably long enough, let's go back over here. It's not in the cache because 15 seconds went away. Okay, so let's insert it in the cache. We'll go along here. Now if we come back in again, let's say it's about 5 seconds. Okay, it's still in the cache. We read it from the cache. Now that should reset it to 15 seconds. So now it's been more than the original 15 seconds, but if we go back in, what we'll see here is it's still in the cache because it's a sliding expiration. So now we read it from the cache and that causes it to reset to 15 seconds. And there it is. So you can see that this behaves a little bit differently in that every time we access the cache, it resets the duration to 15 seconds. And you may find that useful in contrast to the absolute expiration, and you basically might be saying, okay, you know, as long as people are accessing this and we're retrieving the data from the cache, we'll keep it there. But if there's some period of inactivity, in our simple case here was 15 seconds, then we're going to remove the item from the cache. So to recap what we've seen here, first we did a simple cache, which is down here in this load simple cache method, where we insert the item into the cache. It stays there basically as long as the application server is running, and from that point on we would always retrieve the data from the cache. The second thing we looked at is what's called an absolute expiration. We put in the cache for 15 seconds in this case, and after that time it removes it no matter whether people are requesting it or not. And the last was a sliding expiration, where we set it in this case to 15 seconds of sliding expiration, so every time the item was accessed it would reset the expiration to 15 seconds. So you can download the sample source code. As I mentioned, it'll be in C# as well as the VB we used here in the video, and use this as a basis for implementing some caching in your own ASP.NET website. This is Chris Pels. Thanks for watching this video on implementing caching in ASP.NET.